I've been waiting all week for our next guest to be here. I'm kind of glad, you know, obviously we want to talk to him right when the very day that these things are happening, but, you know, it's probably best 3 or 4 days. You can ruminate on this. You can kind of see, read the tea leaves. Daniel Estulin is a geopolitical strategist extraordinaire. He is award-winning investigative reporter. He's written the book Shadows of a Presidency, among many other books, but that's his most recent one. English.DanielEstulin.com is his website. You can check that out. He is a friend of the Power Hour. It's a pleasure to have him on. Daniel, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you so much again for the invitation. Happy New Year's to all the listeners and obviously to you. And let's go at it. I think we have a lot to talk about.
All right. Obviously, the big thing, everybody has been wanting to know your opinion about Iran. Maybe you want to start on a macro level, the Middle East, whatever. Just what are we looking at here?
Well, I think, first of all, what we're looking at is, you know, if you want a headline, the war is lost. The United States can keep at it, you know, for a very long time in Afghanistan, but against a serious country, and Iran is a serious country. The Persians are not the Arabs who don't know how to fight. Persians, if you just, you know, look at the map, I know, according to the numbers that came out to the polls yesterday, the day before, 75% of Americans can't find Iran on the map. Well, they, you know, they couldn't find Iraq on the map either until, it was shoved down their throats by the United States government and the media. But the point is that when you go up against a country like Iran, you know, they can't win a war, not because they're not strong enough or technically superior to most countries, but because the society itself, America, is broken down from within. The United States is not able to withstand a long conflict with substantial human losses of life. You know, caskets of dead soldiers, names of the dead sons and daughters, 19, 20-year-olds on nightly news on television. You know, we saw that, you know, in the war in Vietnam. And also in the earlier conflict in the late 1990s and early 2000s with Afghanistan and Iraq. In North Korea, you know, they can withstand any conflict. I mean, hungry, cold, it doesn't make any difference. Iran too, Russia too. I mean, just look at World War II. The United States experts, think tanks, foundations, government officials who know nothing about the world from the point of view of the world. They only see the world from the prism of the United States, McDonald's, rah, 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 you know, we're number one, hi, mom, that kind of stuff. They don't understand that, you know, Iranians, Afghanis, the Taliban, they've been going at it for you know, 1,000 years, okay, since before Prophet Muhammad was born. The Russians, North Koreans, you know, they think American government, the State Department, Pompeo and company, they think that, you know, if we or the Iranians, you know, if we eat less rice or less meat, we will give up. We are not American, we're Asian. Iran's today's quagmire is America's fault. If you kind of go back historically and look at what happened in 1953, you know, they got rid of Mossadegh and put the Shah on the throne because somebody decided that, you know, a truly democratic Iran was not in America's interest or British interest, so they got rid of Mossadegh. Then they got rid of the Shah in 1979 and brought their other puppet, you know, the lunatic Khomeini. And the third time, when the only force that counterbalanced Iran's pretensions and potential in the area, that is Iraq and Saddam Hussein, they were destroyed as well. So, you know, what's Trump and his advisors are focusing on right now? They're focusing on, amongst other things, Idlib in Syria. And until Idlib, I know most Americans have no idea where that is. Just have a look on the map. IDLIB. So until Idlib is resolved, it's almost impossible to solve the Syrian question. But the problem of Idlib is not Iran's doing. The problem of Idlib can't be solved as long as Turkey is stuck in the middle of it. And Assad can't ask, Assad is the president of Syria, he can't ask Iran to leave as long as Idlib is in the hands of the terrorists. And who put these terrorists there in the first place? Russia, China, Iran, or was it the United States and the United Kingdom and its allies? And we have Pompeo, I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, but in front and center telling the world that the United States' presence in any foreign country has always been done from the point of view of human rights, democracy, and in pursuit of happiness.
It's almost laughable.
Again, let's juxtapose it against reality. Trump is talking about, I think it was yesterday, about making Iran great. Now, from a historical point of view, which country was made great by the United States? Vietnam? Korea? Yugoslavia? Syria? Libya? Afghanistan, Bolivia, Honduras, Iraq, Japan, after World War II, Ukraine. A country went from Europe's breadbasket to a first 100% Nazi-run state in the middle of Europe, and the country with the lowest standard of living in Europe. I'm talking about Ukraine. Kosovo, which was part of Yugoslavia, and today is, especially after the war in the 1990s, has become the first truly 100% narco state in Europe. All the drugs from Afghanistan are run through Kosovo into Europe, because if you look at the map, again, maps, important to look at the map. It's the shortest route into Europe. So if you look at all the countries in the Middle East, it's not money. You can't paper these things over. It's political, it's national, it's religious, social problems. You have the Sunnis, you have the Shiites, you have the Sufis. And the United States, how do they want to solve all these problems? By throwing $50 billion at making Iran great again, Qatar great again, Bahrain great again, Iraq great again, Lebanon, Syria great again, according to Made in the USA model of greatness. Because, again, if you look at the think tanks, the foundations, whether we're talking about Hudson or Rand Foundation or American Enterprise Institute, it doesn't make any difference. There's over 100 or 1,000 of these, and they do all kinds of stuff. But the thing is that they need to have a report prepared for the government from the point of view of the government. They're not independent institutions. So they don't have the people who know anything, who understand the nitty-gritty of the situation. Okay? Don't they understand, again, it's a rhetorical question, that the Middle East has nothing to do with American Midwest or California or Florida or Alaska, Oregon? By the way, another place on earth that the United States has made great and happy again is Latin America. And until the United States started making Latin America great again, they never had a drug problem. Only after the CIA and the DEA started running the drug trade for Latin America to the United States via Panama and Mexico did the drug trade explode. Because, again, drugs are a lubricant of the world's economy. We're looking at a $950 billion in cash business per year. And it's insane to think that a three-star Venezuelan general, some Taliban, you know, dressed in bed sheets and thin, you know, night slippers, is the kingpin of global drug trade. The Taliban or Venezuelan generals controlled Britain's China opium trade in the 19th century, or was it the empire? How about Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, Wachovia Bank, which was taken over by Wells Fargo, Citi, Coutts, which is Queen of England's private bank? They've all been caught laundering billions of dollars of drug money. Wachovia was caught, I think it was 2008, if I'm not mistaken, laundering $364 billion of Mexican drug lords' money. And the president of Wachovia came out at the time and said, I don't know what happened. And, of course, we believe them. So this is, you know, this is the long and the short of it. So the point is, when we're looking at the Middle East, without going into anything else for now, we have to understand that it's a model that at stake right now. And because of the global economic collapse, okay, the best way to write off $4 quadrillion worth of debts and responsibilities is having not some little piddly war between Syria and Israel, but a global conflict. Because if you can get Iran to start shooting serious missiles at Israel, what's Israel going to do? I mean, Israel is 8 million people. Iran is 83, and they're Persians. Look at the map of the world. Look at the Sassanida Empire. Again, most people have no idea what that is. Sassanida, as you hear. Look at the extent of that. These are the Persians. So the only way Israel can stop Iran is with nuclear weapons. But if that happens with one nuclear weapon, Israel is wiped out of the map. So they can't do that. So the only way that these planners, global elite, want to write off these debts and responsibilities is by getting Russia and China and the United States and Israel and everybody else involved in a global thermonuclear war. But it's not happening, luckily for all of us. But the point is, right, they're going to keep going at it and keep trying. But to understand, we really need to understand what the Middle East is all about.
Let me interject with, just answer these questions quickly, not a lot of explanation. Let me try to get some important points in here. You're raising so many good points. Has Trump pulled off the gas on this war, on this conflict? I mean, what we see in, did he do a real service here by stopping more conflict?
Well, no. Well, first of all, it was a provocation. Again, you have to look at it this way. This whole situation that transpired is 50% British Empire. It's about 5%, you know, the Saudis, about 10% the Israelis, you know, the deep state and the United States, the rest. Okay? I mean, Trump doesn't read. I don't even know if he knows how to read. But the point is that he was put into this situation. I'm not excusing Trump's actions. But what Trump has done, and it's a very serious predicament for everybody, what he basically said, and again, they used, Rand Paul said it the other day. Now, they used some, you know, some obscure provision from 2002 to go after these people. So if somebody, you know, even thinks something negative about the United States says we have the right to, you know, to liquidate that person. Israel has been doing that with the terrorists. The United States has been doing it to some point, but the international community basically said, look, as long as you don't cross this line, that's okay. But the fact is that Trump goes into another country and kills a Iranian representative in another country, Iraq, where he was there legally, sets a very dangerous precedent, because basically it means that anyone in the world, okay, and I'll use Russia as an example, because we have so many NATO alliance nations right on our borders, we needless to say feel threatened. So Russia theoretically has the right, okay, to bomb the hell out of all these countries, just destroy them or wipe them off the face of the earth. The same could be said for China. The same could be said for any country out there. Okay? So this is what was done. Okay? And again, this was done by Trump and by the people behind him. We've been trying to get him into a global thermonuclear conflict since he became president.
All right. There's an article that came out, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago that seems small. It was kind of a back page article. It really made my eyebrows raise. I'll get your reaction. New York Times came out with an article saying that intelligence from the Pentagon, intelligence analysts from the Pentagon are saying that, no, we did not, this was bad intel, they should not have killed Soleimani. Now, I went off like a red flag on that, because we were told, oh, all the intelligence agents are saying that Soleimani is a terrorist, he needs to go. Now the New York Times is reporting that people among the Pentagon, it seems pretty credible, are saying, no, that's not what's said at all. Two things have to have occurred here. Either one, they pushed Trump to go do it, and now these intelligence analysts are now backing off and say, no, it wasn't us. Trump's doing this all on his own. Or two, it is true that they said that all along, and Trump was just railroaded by Pompeo or Pence or somebody right next to him that keeping this information from him, and they or Israel or wherever.
I said it many times, Daniel, and again, I'm not excusing, because in the end, Trump gave the order, and you know, and he said, I did it. But again, Trump is surrounded by traitors, people who represent not the interests of the United States, but the interests of the global, okay, deep state empire. London is behind this whole operation, okay, just as London was behind
Israel.
Not
Israel, because, you know, we've heard Israel wanted Soleimani dead in 2015, even earlier. So Israel wasn't the trigger. You think the British Empire
Israel,
was the trigger point?
Again, it's London. It's the New Jerusalem. It's London. London is the British Empire. But again, historically, if you kind of go back and start looking who does what to whom, historically, it's always London. But, you know, again, London 50%, Israel about 15%, 5% the Saudis. Saudis understand, okay? And that's why the United States, this whole thing, although Soleimani is dead, okay? And we can talk about, you know, the fact that Soleimani has worked very closely with the United States, and he was of great assistance to the United States, especially in the early going in Afghanistan in 2002. But the thing is that Soleimani is not a terrorist. Americans worked very closely with him for a long time. 5 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, he was on the cover of Newsweek magazine, you know, as the face of those who are actually fighting the ISIS headquarters. The thing is that, again, what we're looking at is reorganization of the world. The Saudis, they were terrified of the consequences, because they understand if you have a serious shooting regional war, they're gone. You know, the Wahhabis, they go back to selling camels in the desert, because they're going to be wiped off the face of the earth. They understand that very, very well. And so they're terrified. Not only are they terrified, they also understand that the United States cannot be trusted. They simply cannot be trusted. And so they, you know, needless to say, they have to be very careful how they approach this whole thing. But the same day that Soleimani was taken out, the Saudis were making overtures to Iran, saying, we had nothing to do with this. Bahrain, Qatar, they're all saying the same thing, because they understand that the United States simply can no longer be trusted.
What does Russia think about all this?
Russia, again, the whole point is trying to get Russia and China involved in the conflict.
Are they aware of
this? We're not going to get involved in this conflict, not because we can't, because we simply understand. The United States, what they've tried to do for a very long time, is get Russia involved in the secondary type conflicts like Afghanistan back in the 1980s of the 20th century, which was, Russia's undoing. And watch how they're being bled to death by all these, piddly, squeak little countries. But Russia turned the tables on the United States, and now the United States finds itself in this quagmire that they simply can't get out of. You know, they're in Afghanistan. That war has been going on for the entire 21st century. They're in Iraq, they're in Iran, they're in Bahrain, they're in Syria, they're in Libya, they're in all these places where they don't want to be. And Trump has tried to get out. That needs to be said as well. And every time he's tried to actually extricate himself from the Middle East, who was behind the deep state in London? What were they doing? The so-called chemical attack by Assad, which now has come out that Assad had nothing to do with it. The White Helmets was an entire terrorist London-based provocation. So Trump has tried to get himself out of the Middle East, and he hasn't been able to. Okay, I'm not excusing what Trump has done. I mean, this is a very dangerous precedent. One of the things, as you remember, you and I have always talked about, is with the collapse of the global economy, the need for the new Yalta Agreement. And one of the reasons you need a new Yalta, new Bretton Woods, is a lot of things need to be retalked, okay, redistributed and renegotiated in a sense that, how this new world order post Bretton Woods collapse is going to look like. Because, the world of Yalta, of nation states, of constitutions, of laws, of regulations, of international order, that has been completely destroyed. And one of the reasons it's been completely destroyed is because the system itself is on its deathbed. So everybody's scrambling to try to survive. And that's why Trump is going to be reelected. There's no doubt about that at all. Okay? And then at the end of the first year of his second presidency, the people who have a conceptual model of the world, meaning the United States, China, Russia, India, because of its population base, these nations are going to sit down and they're going to try to renegotiate the future agreements of what the world is going to look like beginning with about 2023.
Let me ask you, or let me summarize here. Basically, the 7 countries in 5 years plan that General Wesley Clark warned everybody about, it didn't completely fail, or it didn't come to fruition, but it's still ongoing. The Middle East is a spark plug. The British Empire, so to speak, the banking industry, the made up money out of nothing industry, to keep their control, they have to be able to write off these debts. They know their system is coming to an end. The Middle East is kind of their ace in the hole. They need this thing to spark off into a major war so that they can say, oh, well, I guess that's why we can't pay this $4 trillion debt. Let's just start over. At the other hand, you have Trump standing there saying, offering an alternative, a project to an alternative. He's being pushed with bad information, with false information. I mean, let's not say bad, false information, whether it's coming from Pentagon or the people around him. He's surrounded by traitors. He responded to this Iranian thing. Iran responded back. And obviously, they warned us. They didn't kill any Americans. It's almost like there's a wink,
Daniel,
wink.
How do you know that they didn't kill any Americans?
I agree with you. See, I thought that same thing, Daniel.
I
agree
know,
with
but
you.
But I can't say it. How do you, my question is, and again, people are going to have to read between the lines. How do you know they didn't kill any Americans? Because you saw what? A picture on Twitter. The Iranians have, state-of-the-art Russian technology. Our technology is not America's technology. Our technology doesn't fail. It's state-of-the-art. And Russia has demonstrated that can hit, Camel in his butt from the Caspian Sea.
So what you're saying, because those missiles, 4 of them failed, 1 of them hit the wrong place, what you're saying is that Iran didn't shoot them.
There were 40 ballistic missiles launched.
You're trying to tell me Iran didn't fire those missiles on that retaliation.
Which missiles? They fired 40 ballistic missiles. And the difference is that we have satellites and we can see what happened. The things that you see at Twitter, it's a video game. It's not real. They can't tell you that American soldiers were killed. Okay? But the entire base where the drones were based has been completely wiped out. You're not going to hear about this. But it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
So they went after the drones. Were they warned? Did Iran tell call America
no
say, look?
They were warned or not. The point
all right, let me ask you
this.
This is important.
There are no drones left.
All right, we got about a minute and a half left for the break. This is important. Did Iran somewhere by back channels, whatever, get a message to America, hey, we have to save face here. We're going to bomb something to get your soldiers out of this. This is what we're going to bomb.
I don't think so. I mean, this was what America did with Soleimani is it was a treasonous act. He was there on a mission, and again, you can keep whatever it is that the media says about him being a terrorist. He worked with the United States. He helped America greatly,
yes.
Especially with the Taliban. He was responsible for the entire drug operation being stopped, you know, at the Iranian border that they were running drugs into Iran from Afghanistan.
All right,
okay,
we're going to talk about that.
He handed in hundreds of Taliban terrorists to the United States in 2002. He, Soleimani personally, yes, he was defending Iran's interests. He was no angel. But when you're talking about a war on grand scale, there are no angels. I'm not excusing what he is, okay? I'm just explaining it. I couldn't care less about Soleimani. I'm Russian, not Iranian.
All right, we're going to get to him on the other side. Quick question. Report out of Breitbart. You only got about 30 seconds. This made me jump this morning. It said that border security is warning that suicide bombers are headed to the United States. From this. My question to you is, how in the hell does the Border Patrol have this kind of intelligence?
They don't. It's a way to get everybody, you know, around the flag and get everybody scared.
Seems
in a way
ridiculous.
To promote, you know, they're going to steal whatever little freedom you have and liberty, and they're going to check you and strip search you of the border, and, you know, they're going to make you obey. And that's what it's all about. Take advantage. That's what it's about.
Oh, God. The music's about to start. You know, I could see this clear. There some bomb in some mall or something. I shouldn't even say it. And they're going to say, well, to go to the mall now, you got to have a real ID, or you got to have a chip, or you got to have a whatever. Oh, my God. So we're being played here, basically, is what you're telling
me. You've always been played. Okay? It's just maybe people are getting smarter.
I'm glad you clarified
that. Happening.
Stay tuned. Daniel Estlin. Where are you going to hear this? Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. English.danielestlin.com. You are listening to the Power Hour. Stay tuned. More on Soleimani on the other side.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are left to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
I just love that bass line. It just puts a smile on my face. I don't know why. It just does. Oh, it gets to get you toe-tapping, what have you. That's a feel-good show here. End of the week. We have Dan Les on. I'd like to remind you, thank you so much for your purchases, your donations, your prayers, what have you, what we're doing here. There's not a lot of places you can have independent media, independent thought. I mean, anywhere. You think a lot of these, you think there's shows out there will have Dan Les on saying these things? There's not a lot out there. We're very excited to have him. We're very excited that you're listening, be a part of this, and thank you for your support. Buy from the good guys, will you? If you haven't bought from us in a while or ever, why not? There's something for everybody there at the Power Mall. Do me a favor. Please check it out. See something. We've had a lot of different interviews. You can go through our YouTube channel. You can also sign up that on the Power Hour and hear what we're doing and see what we're doing and how we want you to be happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. That is my intention. That is Uncle Kevin's. Uncle Kevin's sitting right here listening diligently. That's what you want.
Right, Uncle Kevin? That's exactly right.
There you go. He's from the corner. He's in the corner. The lights are off. Just kidding.
I'm pouting.
ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Of course, North American Urban Spice, the Detox, the Strauss Heart Drops, now in Cinnamon, all the other great things, high quality supplements. Hard to get anywhere else. Don't support Amazon. Support the good guys, will you? Anyway, thepowermall.com. Getting back to Daniel. My brain is going all over the place. Let's get to the plane that was shot down or supposedly shot down. Justin Trudeau comes out and says that Iran shot it down. American, quote unquote, authorities, intelligence agents, whatever, saying it's highly likely. And when I hear we have a high degree of confidence, when I hear that from our intelligence, I immediately believe the opposite. What do you know about that plane shot down,
again,
not shot down?
You don't need to. To have a PhD, you don't need to do, just use your brain cells to and move them a little bit to try to figure out. You have an airplane shot out by someone. They say it was Iran. Well, the actual shooting phase of that conflict, that was over hours ago. The plane goes down. There are 74 Canadians on board. There are 63, but there's also 11 other people who had something to do with Canada or Canadian government or people who lived in Canada. You also have representatives who are all PhDs, by the way, from a dozen Canadian universities across the country. Not one university, but a dozen Canadian universities from the East and West Coast. Now, you know, when I was in counterintelligence, my general in charge of our division, he always used to say, if a leaf falls off a tree somewhere, because someone somewhere wants that leaf to fall. So the fact is, you have 74 Canadians on board that airplane, okay, all with PhDs, makes me wonder what were they doing in Iran. First of all, second of all, they provided us with the passenger manifest. First of all, I don't know if these were the people who were actually on the flight. You know, I don't know if you remember, about a year ago, a plane crashed in Russia. Okay, it was just some obscure Russian, you know, piddly little airline, and you know, you make nothing of it until you realize that one of the people on that plane was involved in the investigations against Hillary Clinton. And then suddenly, you know, things start making sense. Okay, so again, my question is, who are the people on the airplane? Do we know all of the actual people who were shot out of the sky? Because I bet you there are some people we don't know anything about. You know, important people probably are not on that list, and they will never be on that list. Okay, so there are a lot of questions, but, you know, common sense, when you actually start putting it together, 2 + 2 = 4, for as much as Justin Trudeau of the American government has the certainty that, you know, 2 + 2 = 5.
Now, you told me something. I called you the day of that this started to break, and we talked a little bit. You told me something I was not aware of, and it made me really kind of pause and start the brain really clicking. The same day that Soleimani was killed, the counterpart to Soleimani in Taiwan also died. And nobody's talking about that.
The helicopter crash, that was in the morning. One was at night, the other one was in the morning. A helicopter crash, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of Taiwan was, I think there were 8 other generals or high-ranking government members. You know, it was a routine check somewhere, I don't know where, that doesn't matter. But the point is, again, the fact that you have two very high-ranking generals, one from Iran, one from Taiwan, which is another key area of a hotspot in the world, died on the same day. The chances of that happening are zero. Just like the chances of 74 Canadians dying in an airplane that was supposedly going from Toronto to Ukraine. It's another thing. They're going to tell you that the reason they were in Iran is because it's much cheaper to get to Ukraine, you know, via Turkey or Iran. Then, you know, they can tell you whatever it is. It makes no difference. The point is, of 74 Canadians, most of them with PhDs from a dozen Canadian universities converging in Iran, supposedly on the way to Ukraine because it's cheaper to get to Ukraine via Iran or Turkey, are zero. Okay? Absolutely zero. So, again, who and what and why, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Because, again, the intelligence is art form. It's not a precise science. People say, well, where did you get this from? Who said it? Where? I want the information, and I want to be able to see it and cite it. We don't have it. It's like asking Leonardo da Vinci to explain and cite of, you know, why he was using this color instead of another color. Intelligence is intellect. And Russian intelligence, you say razvedka, in sense raz meaning 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a way of counting. It's the order of things. Okay? So the point is, again, when you're looking at the information available, without going into secret government information and, you know, top secret, you know, sources, it doesn't matter. You just look at what's out there and you start, you know, drawing conclusions.
I've already forgotten why we hate Iran. Why should America hate Iran? Can you give me a concrete?
I mean, they told you that they're such nasty people that these Ayatollahs are bad. But again, if you kind of look, you know, I want to talk very briefly about, you know, Trump mentioned 52 American hostages back in 1979, 1980.
Yes.
You know, Daniel, the regime change interventions, be it via color revolution, Arab Springs, it's being carried out by the Anglo-American forces to create a new system of control of the world to replace the now collapsing world monetary system, the vehicle through which power over the world was previously wielded by the London-based financial empire and its underlings such as Wall Street. Okay, unending warfare within countries and war between satraps is the new Dark Age agenda for controlling what had once been sovereign nation states. And this has been going on for over 150 years. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about, you know, Assad in Anwar Assad in Egypt, or we're talking about the oil hoax back in 1973, because it was a hoax. You know, Mossadegh or the Shah of Iran or Ayatollah Khomeini. Okay, there are many reasons why they brought in Khomeini. But again, one of the reasons to bring Khomeini to power, it had to do with the conspiracy to create a unified fundamentalist Islam. Islamic fundamentalism is a euphemism for a pre-Islamic irrationalist backwards cult created on the basis of ancient Sufi belief on brainwashing structures insinuated into Islam. These are all operations made in England. And redrawing of the Middle East is meant to create new boundaries. On the one hand, a blatant attempt at Balkanization of Islamic states, especially Iran, Syria, Iraq, the Arabic Peninsula, and Turkey. And also on the other, the expansion of Israel via combination of direct annexation of Arab countries, Arab lands, and the creation of Israeli-dominated buffer entities. And let's not forget the Saudis, the financiers of every filthy terrorist extremism in the Middle East. Saudi kings, while pretending to be modern in their world outlook, represent the most backwards and putrid Wahhabist extremism. They have donated billions of dollars to terrorist causes worldwide, and they're responsible for the deaths of millions from their synthetic terror. And none of this, of course, is an accident of history. This is being done on purpose by the same forces who have created an artificial oil hoax, pushed forward the 1980s project for world deindustrialization. That was a Council on Foreign Relations project. It created the Taliban, created Al-Qaeda, created ISIS, and financed generally international terrorism, be it in Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, or wherever. So these conflicts would bring havoc and destruction to the region, and it would cause an impending collapse in the technological development in the Middle East, meltdown of the productive capacity of most nation states, while killing large cross-sections of native populations and setting the region back several generations. So when we're talking about Soleimani, we're talking about Iran, the mullahs, terrorism, let's ask ourselves a question, okay? Who is a greater danger to world stability? The deep state, British Empire, or Iran?
See, I can answer that. That one's easy. See, I had this debate with Uncle Kevin. He does the news over here with me. We had this debate back and forth about Soleimani and about, you know, if you say he's not acting in a vacuum. I mean, even logically, even the most pro-Trump or pro-action against Iran person would have to say he's not acting within a vacuum. Obviously, the deep state, John Kerry, whatever, they're supporting Iran. They're pushing the buttons here. So then, is it better to kill Soleimani, or is it better to arrest 20 deep state operatives in the United States? Which would be more effective? That's my question.
Well, and if you're going to arrest 20 deep state operatives in the United States, you're still not going to get rid of the disease, because the disease is in London. The empire is London. It's not America that they say the American empire. There's only been one empire over the last 200 years, and that's the British Empire. And they're the operatives. You know, they're pirates. Britain has always been pirates, living off at somebody else's expense. Now, I know we don't have a lot of time, so I want to just go into the Soleimani thing. Now, I'm not going to explain who he is, where he comes from. People just open up the Wikipedia page, and it's all there. But I do want to explain things that people don't know. As you know, after the events of September 11, 2001 in the United States, a lot of countries provided support to the United States and its operations for obvious reasons. And the first operation was Afghanistan. Okay? What is less known or unknown is that Iran played a very important role in helping the United States. From Iran, it was Soleimani, whom the Americans knew as Haji Qassem, responsible for interacting with the United States. It was Iran that provided the United States with the most detailed information on the location of the Taliban bases and Taliban units, the very units that the Quds operatives obtained in their dangerous operations in Afghan territory. Soleimani carried out the arrests of hundreds of al-Qaeda operatives in Iran, ensured their delivery to Afghanistan and then obviously to the United States. So as the Americans who worked for the Iranians later recalled, it was a very profitable collaboration. Then in January 2002, with U.S. President George W. Bush, you know, things changed when he declared Iran a part of some axis of evil in his annual address to Congress. This shocked the Iranians, who already saw the United States as an ally in the fight against global terrorism, and the American diplomats also were fairly shocked and taken aback by Bush's actions. Okay, but Soleimani himself, for him, this was also a problem because, in a sense, he, Soleimani, bet on the Americans, and he backed their fight. Okay, and now, you know, that stuck it to him. The Republicans, however, didn't care who and what was helping their country. They wanted blood. They wanted to kill. They wanted to destroy. And they were not interested in the surrender of those countries that were designed victims by the Americans. Okay, they wanted them wiped off the face of the earth. And again, as I said, Clark talked about seven countries. After Iraq, Iran was next. In 2003, the American army, they destroyed Iraqi army. Iran didn't particularly protest against the collapse of its sworn enemy, whose aggression claimed nearly half a million lives. Moreover, under the leadership of Soleimani, after the American invasion and occupation of Iraq, the Iranians had got in touch with their old, you know, nemesis, the United States. True, now Iran was very fearful of the United States and George Bush's psychopathic behavior. Okay. But what few people know, okay, the first occupation government in Iraq was created by the Americans with participation of Qasem Soleimani. Soleimani participated in the selection of candidates and coordinated them with the United States. Yes, it was over shortly after. On the other hand, no goodwill gesture addressed to the United States worked. It seemed that the Americans had turned into this cannibalistic fanatics obsessed with the idea of annihilating everyone, meaning Iran in the first place. But on the other hand, and at the same time, it was clear, okay, that they were being stalling in Iraq. 2004 was a key year. It was the year that the Iranians reevaluated the situation. Things looked differently in 2004 than it did in 2001. The United States was still, you know, this lunatic country who wanted to kill everything in its sight. But they had fallen into this insanity, but now this insanity was clearly stuck in two unwinnable wars for some unknown reason. Now, after the failure to cooperate with the Americans, another strategy has become logical, to make them, you know, stuck in a guerrilla war of attrition they could never win. And the Quds, led by Soleimani, immediately set to work. They massively trained different independent Shiite groups that immediately began to attack the Americans. And Iranians, proteges in the Iraqi government at the time, were sabotaging American efforts to restore order. And so over the years, the Iranians managed to raise a powerful wave of resistance. They also managed to seriously arm the rebels. For example, Americans widely used armored cars protected from explosions. You remember those huge cars, small arms, designed as MRAPs, mine-resistant ambush protected. These vehicles protected the crews, and the destruction of the American occupation was a problem for the Iraqis. So the Iranians, being very good at improvising, they very quickly created portable mines with a warhead of the Strike Corps type and set up the production and delivery to Iraq. So these mines easily hit monstrous America's armored cars and claimed the lives of hundreds of American soldiers. And this was also the work of Soleimani. His activity in Iraq is professionally effective, and also from a point of view of Persia, insidious. It deserves a separate description. The Americans tried to capture him, but to no avail. He also made mistakes. For example, Soleimani was involved with al-Qaeda in operations against the United States, and except that the al-Qaeda turned against him, and a lot of his own people were killed. Again, the outcome of all these efforts is well known. In 2011, the United States officially ended the occupation of Iraq, minimizing its presence in the country. So there was no longer any talk of invasion of Iran, and Iraq itself was awash with Iraqi militias, which could easily defeat the official Iraqi army sponsored by the United States, while the Iraqi government itself was directly controlled from Tehran, with Soleimani personally controlling it. So at the same time as the war, Soleimani created the economic basis for his operation. So putting banks and oil supplies under control in Iraq and then elsewhere, he made sure that his military empire found itself became self-financing. And this was exactly what the Iranians wanted after the war with Iraq, which was a long 8-year-old war of attrition. The issues of their defense were resolved, firstly themselves, without involving large masses of Iranian troops, and secondly, efficiently, thirdly, outside Iranian territory, and fourthly, you know, all the stuff was free. And so the outbreak of the American-inspired terrorist war in the region made Soleimani even more in demand than he was, you know, during the early occupation of Iraq by the United States. In Iraq and Syria, the main burden of wars against terrorist groups, once created with the participation of the United States, was carried out by various militias and Shiite groups created, you know, by Soleimani people. In Syria, for example, the Lebanese Hezbollah, the brainchild of the Quds, tutored by Soleimani, has become the most combat-ready units, and we know that they defeated the Israelis back in 2006. And so at a certain point, Soleimani turned out to be the man who controlled all the wars in Iraq and Syria at once. And so again, so when Trump talks about Soleimani being the terrorist, you have to put it in context. None of this would have happened had the United States decided to aggressively invade countries that had absolutely nothing to do with terrorism and place terrorists in those countries, finance them and support them against legitimate governments which they wanted to dethrone.
So basically, Soleimani was a friend of the United States at some point, fought ISIS.
Again, you will not hear this in, you know, on CNN. Hundreds of Taliban terrorists were handed over by the Iranians to the United States.
And then America turned on them. So then America stabbed him in the back, and then he was forced to take a different position.
America has done this continuously and perpetually in every war and conflict.
Yeah,
back in the 1990s, when the Soviet Union fell apart, we wanted to be friends with the United States. We wanted to be one. We admired the Soviet Union. We've always admired the United States, okay, until we realized what had happened. And now we don't admire the United States because, again, we admired, we believed, we trusted, and then the United States not only took over Russia, you know, in the post-Soviet period, but through financial deregulation.
Daniel, let me pause you. Let me interject. Let me interject here because we got literally like 3.5 minutes probably. I have to ask you these two questions, and it'll take all that time and more probably. One, what is your take on the future? What do you see right around the corner here with the situation? And two, right here in America, Virginia is becoming a powder keg with Northam, the governor there, wanting to take guns. Militias or sheriffs are aligning. You've mentioned civil war. Maybe these things are related. Maybe they're not. What do you see in Virginia? What do you see in the Middle East?
I see civil war in America 2020-2021. You know, the philosophical differences are so large, they're insurmountable in the United States. There's only one way to do this. When everything else fails, the only way out is violent conflict. And when you have a country with 360 million arms and everybody's armed and everybody hates each other, and the media, again, you have to understand that the media, the intelligence agencies, they're all part of the deep state. They're all anti-Trump. They're going to go at it until the thing is solved. What they don't understand, okay, is that the Democrats or the anti-Trump crowd, they can talk about violence, but when push comes to shove, they've never fired a pistol. They don't know what it is. And they're certainly not willing to die for anyone because they're individuals, okay? They're egoists. And so the concept of greater good doesn't exist in the liberal banking financier imagination. So that's what I see for the United States. The United States is a very, very sick country at this moment. I mean, it has terminal cancer. Okay, to extirpate this cancer, you need to go to war. There's no way out of this. I think globally, the United States for it to survive, it needs to get the hell out of the Middle East. Okay, and that's what Trump is going to try to do. I think, if he's smart. But again, I think it might have gone too far. There's just so many known unknowns, as Rumsfeld used to say. So it all depends. We know that the Russians and the Chinese are not going to get involved. We saw it this time. It would have been very easy for them to be involved. They're not. It also gives Russia and China additional leverage in carry out their own operations and say we're justified to do this because of what you have done. So, again, the world is a powder keg. The global deep state, the planners, London, they need global war. It doesn't matter if you kill five.
Are they going to get it? Are they going to get it, or there's going to be a soft landing here and some sort of transition to another financial?
I don't see a soft landing. You can't have a soft landing when the economy is on its deathbed, when the model is gone. There's absolutely nothing you can do. I mean, having negative interest rates is not healthy. Okay, the fact is you have quadrillions dollars worth of bubbles in the world is not healthy. The fact that they're printing billions of dollars every month and still there's nothing they can do to save the economy only goes to show you just how far gone this whole thing is.
All right, everybody listening to you right now, you got 1 minute. What should they do? Should they get food storage, gold, silver, water, what?
Make sure you have food storage. You know, be liquid, keep cash, American dollars if you can, because again, when there's big trouble, dollars is a good thing to have. Stay out of anything that's not liquid. Physical gold, physical silver, keep it at home. Keep it somewhere you can get at it. You know, forget about speculating, forget the stock market, forget all that nonsense, okay? And also make sure you have people in the community you can band and work with, because when the shit hits the fan, the proverbial shit hits the fan, you're going to need people you could trust who are very close to you to work together, okay? And make sure you guys are on the same team and make sure you are very, very clear about the ways out of this, okay? So if something happens, okay, you know what you're going to do, how you're going to do this. It's got to be military preparation.
God almighty.
I know most people don't believe any of this stuff. They think it's some crazy Netflix film. It's not.
Mm. Daniel, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate the world of you. Think the world of you. Thank you for coming on, as always, on the show. And you've given us something to think about. Until next time, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in you. And I believe in this country and the principles of this country. It's time for values. It's time for principles. It's time for honest assessment. I want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. Hold on to that. Hold on to the rail. There's chaos coming. Out of it can come this new world order, or it can come freedom. We want it to go freedom. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you beginning of next week. Moriarty's coming on. Daniel, God bless you, my friend. Stay right there.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-982.